Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Thank you for all the things that you've blessed me with in my life. We will see the worm of anxiety, the anxious worm, drown out in the waters of praise. I believe that. And maybe this doesn't apply to you. I'll tell you who it applies to in this room. Me, because it's such a tendency to want to stress and worry when I need to say, you know what, Lord, be anxious for nothing and everything with thanksgiving. I trust you, Lord.
Worry is a universal struggle. It may affect us all in different ways, but it's something that all of us deal with on some level. Maybe it's over your health or bank account. Maybe it's for your friends or family members. Whatever weighs on your mind when you lay down at night, those worries don't do you any good. Quite the opposite. They're destructive. In today's message, Pastor Michael will encourage us to set our eyes on our Savior and be grateful for His strength and provision in our lives. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Acts chapter 12 for today's edition of Burning Hearts.
You give thanks in everything because every good thing that you enjoy and I enjoy in our lives is from God. It's the recognition that the things that I have are from Him and not as a result of my own doing. You following me here? So we give thanks to God because we're giving Him the glory for that, because God, everything that I have is from you. If you think that the job that you have or the family that you enjoy or the position that you've gotten or whatever in life, if you think that anything you have that's good in your life is simply because you've earned it or because you've been diligent or you've been clever or you have this certain amount of expertise and wisdom or whatever, eventually, now follow me here, if you think that way, eventually you and I will be eaten up by this anxious worm. We'll be eaten up by that. I will either be worried about maintaining the stuff that I have, or I'll be worried about attaining the things that I don't have, that I want to have. Doesn't this describe a lot of people in our world? Think about it. They're all stressed out, trying to maintain what they've earned, what they've worked so hard for, or trying to get more. Listen, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. If I say, I have health because I'm committed to my physical fitness and I run this much every day or whatever, if I think that way, I will stress out about it. Do you understand that your health can be required of you in a second? Some of the most healthy people fall over dead. This is why I just stopped exercising. Dude, I just pound gummy bears and ding-dongs all day long. God knows my time. No, I'm kidding. Sort of. But if I'm giving myself the credit, I'm putting all that into, look what I've done, everything. Dude, it'll become my life. You ever met somebody that health and fitness and everything is their life, dude? It's all they can talk about? It's not right. If I think that I have success in the world because of my business wisdom or the amount of college I went to or whatever, if I think that I earned that position on some elite board or whatever that I sit upon, and all of that, I will stress out trying to maintain the thing that I've attained. Does that make sense? And it'll eat me up. And a wise person once told me, they said, Michael, whatever you strive to attain, you will have to strive to maintain. Does that make sense? I remember many years ago, we were pastoring in Kansas City, and a guy came up to me after church one time. And he said, Michael, do you know that some people drive almost 100 miles to come to this church, and there's hundreds of churches? And I was like, yeah, that's crazy to me. I can't believe they do that. It's before we had video available for people that live far away. And he said, it's only because of your preaching. You are so funny. And I was like, well, you know, thanks. And I remember I went home, and that was like a weight on me. Next week, I'm looking through every magazine and book trying to find jokes that I could fit into my sermon, so I would be funny. I've had people say, you know, you used to be a lot funnier. Well, yeah, because I only have a certain amount of jokes. I run out of them. Come on. Been here 3.5 years. Whatever you work to attain, you will have to work to maintain. And I had a pastor tell me, my pastor in Colorado Springs told me one time, he said, Michael, he goes, if you're working so hard to, you know, you've worked this thing, you're trying to be the funny guy, or you're trying to be whatever, something that you're really not. You will always have to work to maintain that. And it's not worth it. Be a man that trusts in the Lord in everything. And if you're going to be funny, you'll be funny sometimes, and sometimes you won't. It's okay. It's the Lord that needs to come through. Does that make sense? Whatever you work to attain, you and I will have to work to maintain, and that can bring stress. It absolutely can. If you and I believe that we are where we are today, we have the house that we have and enjoy today, or the family that we enjoy, or the job that we enjoy, or whatever, because of our ability or our personality or our creativity or our diligence or whatever it is, we are going to be, ultimately, we are going to be eaten up with anxiety. And it'll make us anxious. On the other hand, if we're people that says, God, I believe that everything I enjoy and have is from you. You know, the Bible says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Then you know what the next line is? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love that. Because I love it when the Lord gives. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord took it away. Oh, no, no. Not blessed be the name. Right? Aren't we like that sometimes? But the Lord gives, the Lord takes it away. So if I worked really hard and I got this job and then the job is taken away from me, my trust is in the Lord. I'm not stressed out. What am I going to do? How am I going to feed the family? What am I going to? No, no, no. My trust is in the Lord. He gave me that job and he's allowed it to be taken away and my trust is in him. If I'm fired from some position on a board somewhere that made me look really special and I lose that, I think, Lord, you gave me that position and now it's taken away and you must have a reason for that. Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of them who trust him, right? So I trust you, Lord. I'm trusting in you. The job doesn't work out. If a relationship ends tragically, maybe by death, or it ends by, you know, just goes kaput for some reason, I can have peace. You know, the Bible talks about that, right? Everybody knows it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 or something. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known and your prayer petitions be made known to God. And then it says this, the peace of God that transcends all understanding. One translation says it passes all comprehension. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for how much? Nothing. Because when you are, and then you have thanksgiving in your heart, you're going to have a peace that goes, people will look at you and go, dude, how in the world can you be happy? You just lost your job, or you just lost this person that was so close to you. How can you be smiling and joyful and have peace in your life? And you're like, I don't know, dude. It goes beyond my understanding. Beyond, it passes my comprehension. I don't get it either. I'm just not anxious because my trust is in the Lord and I'm thankful for the things that he has given. Amen. Listen, there's a story in the book of Exodus. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to say it. In the book of Exodus, we all know the story, right? God's people are slaves, and he raises up a dude named Moses, and Moses goes to Pharaoh, the king, and he's like, you gotta let my people go, and there's 10 plagues, and the last plague really freaks everybody out, and so they finally let everybody go. So millions of people are leaving Egypt, okay? And Moses is trucking out of there, and they leave, they're gone, and Pharaoh changes his mind. He's like, whoa, what did I do? What am I thinking? I lost all my labor, free labor. And so he sends the army to go get him. And now at this point, the millions of people and Moses get up to the Red Sea. It's literally like the ocean. As far as you can see, it's like the ocean. I mean, it's huge. We think of sea and we're thinking Trout Lake. No, 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 no. This was like the ocean, dude. And so they're there and they're like, okay, what do we do now? I guess we're gonna have to walk around this bad boy. I don't know how to do it. And then someone goes, Moses, look behind us. And they can see the cloud of smoke and here's Pharaoh's army coming at them. And the people start whining and complaining and freaking out. They're like, oh, we should have never left Egypt. Moses, you idiot. You know, what are you thinking? We're gonna die now. We're gonna die out here in the desert. And Moses, you know the story, you know, he's like, God, these people are driving me nuts. What do I do? And God says, take your staff. This is my translation. And he drops it in the water, right? And the water just miraculously splits wide open. The Bible says that all the millions of people walk across the Red Sea on dry land. What? Okay? And then they get on the other side and Pharaoh's army is like, dude, look at this. This is weird. Oh, let's do it. They did it. So they start trucking on the dry land too, all their horses and chariots and army. And they get all the way in there until the last guy's in there. And God goes, okay, that's enough. Boom. And the water comes in and drowns all the bad guys. and they're totally delivered, okay? It's a huge miracle. We learned about it in Sunday school. It's like one of the big ones, right? Now, on the other side of the Red Sea, there's this lady named Miriam, okay? And Miriam, the Bible says she grabs a tambourine and she begins to lead the people in this song of praise to God. When I was a kid, we sang a song based on Miriam. We called it Miriam's Song. And it went like this. You ready? It went, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider fell into the sea. Hey! Everybody would do that. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider fell into the sea. The Lord is God, my strength, my song has now become my victory. Hallelujah. Anybody remember that song, or is it just me? Praise God. My wife does. I sing it sometimes at night just to be romantic. So whatever, I don't know how it sounded, but she's trucking this little lady with a tambourine and everybody's like, whoa, and they're dancing before the Lord and they're so, they just watch the bad guys drown. This is incredible, right? Now here's my point. What if Miriam and the ladies and everybody else had danced and praised the Lord on the other side of the Red Sea? Why is it always our tendency? You know what? Let me tell you something. It's relatively easy for us to give thanks to God after we see him move. You know what's impressive is when we thank and praise God in the midst of, but then that's not what they were complaining. We're going to die out here. We're between the Red Sea. We're between a rock and a hard place. And we always freak out. How much better it would have been for those people. How much better would it have been for their health, for our health, if we would be those that praise God before we even see him move, rather than whine and complain? How much better it would be for people's faith, their health, their faith? How much better would it be for people's witness to the world if they could look at us praising God in the midst of the storm? Gang, I'm telling you, when we choose to be people that give thanks, not just on a Thursday in November, but every day, continually, consistently in our lives, God, thank you for the incredible views I get to look at every day. Thank you for all the things that you've blessed me with in my life. We will see the worm of anxiety, the anxious worm, drown out in the waters of praise. I believe that. And maybe this doesn't apply to you. I'll tell you who it applies to in this room. Me. Because it's such a tendency to want to stress and worry when I need to say, you know what, Lord, be anxious for nothing and everything with thanksgiving. I trust you, Lord. And a peace will come that passes understanding. Amen? So first worm is the anxious worm, okay? And it's devouring people today, even in the church, okay? And it wants to take you out, dude. Don't be that kind of person. How do you combat it? You be a person that's thankful and gives the glory to God. The second worm is this, what I'm calling the perverse worm. The worm of perversity, okay? This is something that is absolutely, I would suggest to you, devouring our world today. Let me read you a passage in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. I know you've heard this, but listen to it with fresh ears this morning. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, since what can be known about God is evident among them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. And as a result, people are without excuse. Let me stop here and just say this. What is he saying? Don't zone out here. What God's saying in this passage, very, very important. You know, people today will call themselves, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Or I'm an agnostic. You know, maybe there is a God, but he doesn't give a rip about us. Whatever people's, what other little titles people have for themselves. This passage of scripture is saying this. Every man, every woman, every young person on the planet that has ever lived and will ever live until Jesus comes back. Every human being has innately within them an understanding that there's a God. You can call yourself an atheist all you want. My Bible tells me that there is nobody that doesn't have inside of them. And he says he's made himself known through creation, basically. Now, we come up with all kinds of theories, evolution and stuff like that, and a Big Bang theory, and everybody evolved from a cosmic loogie, whatever. We come with all these other ideas, but the Bible says here that in the heart of men and women, God has put the knowledge that he's there. When they look around and see there's something inside, I don't care if you're talking about the Aborigine in the middle of Australia or anybody that's ever lived, they're innately inside of them, there's got to be something bigger than us that did this. And then he says, so men are without excuse. What?
Well, no one ever told me about
men are without excuse because God's put it within you. Now, you can make up reasons why you don't want to believe and call yourself an atheist. But the truth of the matter is you believe something, bro. You believe something and you're choosing that. Now, watch what happens here. Verse 21, for though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude or thanks. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And it goes on, I could keep reading here, but he starts describing a bunch of things of how the world became very perverse. He talks about, you can read the rest of the chapter yourself. I'm not, whatever. One of the things he talks about is that people carved out idols out of wood and stone and things like that, and they began to worship these things. They began to do perverted things. And the reason they began to do these perverted things, look at verse 21 again. I'll put it up here. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Now you read all of this in context and all the stuff that Romans chapter 1 goes on to describe that we are absolutely seeing in our nation today. Things that are described in Romans chapter 1 that we say, oh, that's just a person's choice and, you know, we should all be tolerant and it's not, we shouldn't put our beliefs on other people. All of the perversity that we see that is absolutely accepted and trumpeted today is the result of verse 21. People stopped being grateful. So what are you suggesting, Michael? Very simple. I'm suggesting that that worm of perversity, let me tell you something. I am sad for our culture today. I'm saddened by our world today. I personally need to repent personally about where our world and our society and our culture has gone because I believe of our lack of gratitude and recognizing the Creator God as the giver of all good things. You with me? Okay, let me quickly go. You guys still here? Okay, third worm and we're all done. You got the anxious worm, the perverse worm. Say that four times fast. And the negative worm, okay? The worm of negativity. A man or a woman who does not continually give thanks to God and recognize him as the giver of all good things will become vulnerable to being devoured by the negative worm. Being negative, being grouchy, being grumpy, being cynical. Now, I know you've never met a Christian that's like that. We're talking about the world, right, Pastor Michael? Dude, I cannot tell you how many people I've met in churches who are grumpy, grouchy, and cynical, and negative. And let me just say, I get it. Like, look around. Like I told you, I don't even like to watch the news anymore. It's easy to be negative. It's easy to find things to complain about and be negative. But the way, gang, to escape being devoured, for a church to be devoured, for a people, a society to be devoured by the negative worm, is to be people that give thanks to God continually, not just on a Thursday in November. God, thank you. It's hard to be negative when you're thanking God for the good things in your life. Amen? You gotta do that. I may have used this illustration before, and you probably heard it in school. Maybe you'll be reminded of this. But in the late 1800s, there was in Coffee County, Alabama, okay, specifically a city named Enterprise, but in Coffee County, Alabama, cotton was the thing of the day. That's how they made their living, just harvesting cotton. And in the late 1800s, they had a little boll weevil, this little bug, that came and devastated everything. And you probably remember reading about this. Totally devastated Coffee County, Alabama, okay? And you can read much more about it. I'm just touching the surface. But the people were totally devastated. All their equipment, everything was for cotton. And so they called a town meeting. Now imagine this. They called a town meeting. The town got together, not to yell and complain and whine what we're going to do. You know what they did? They all got on their knees and prayed. The whole stinking town prayed. And you know, I wrote down some of the words of what they prayed. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us for so many years with cotton. Now it's gone. But we know you work all things together for good, so our trust is in you. They ended their prayer time and they had discussion, and one guy came up with the idea. He said, you know what we could do? Instead of harvesting cotton, some of the same machinery, you know what we can do? Let's start harvesting a peanut. Now at that time, peanuts were relatively unknown and unused. No one had any use for them, right? But at the same time, the same year, in a different part of the country, there was a brilliant thinker, one of the smartest dudes that we've ever known in our country, a guy by the name of George Washington Carver. Ever heard of him? Awesome guy. African-American guy, but an incredible thinker. And I say that surprisingly because nobody could believe this guy. He was totally into astronomy. And get this, he was an awesome believer in Jesus Christ. And one day, because he was into astronomy, George Washington Carver prayed this prayer, something like this. He said, oh God, please explain to me the mysteries of the universe. Show me the mysteries of the universe. And he was quiet for a few minutes. And in his own writing, he says this, I became convicted. Like, who am I to ask God Almighty to show me the mysteries of the universe? So I rephrased my prayer and I said, Lord, and he looked and there was a peanut on the table. He said, just show me the mysteries of the peanut. And in that year, 1895, the same year these people prayed and God just miraculously said, change everything from cotton to peanuts. He came up with 300 different uses for the peanut, the most excellent of which was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Amen? Whoa! No, peanut butter. He came up with all that stuff, and I'm telling you, almost overnight, there was this unexpected, unprecedented demand for peanuts. And guess who was already ready? It was the people who got on their face and prayed. The people who said, God, thank you. You've given us cotton for all these years, but our trust is in you. We won't freak out. The people who didn't take the opportunity, that something that could have been a tragedy became a major blessing because they didn't choose to be negative, but they choose rather to trust in the Lord. Amen? If you go to Enterprise, Alabama today, there's a huge monument there, and this lady's holding up a plate, and on the plate is a big boll weevil. Someone stole it like a year and a half ago, is what I read online. They told me they're trying to get a new one, but it's there, and there's a plaque, and I'm sure you can't read that, so let me tell you what the plaque says. This is what it says. In profound appreciation for the boll weevil and what he has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument is erected by the grateful citizens of Coffee County, Alabama. Isn't that cool, man? The Bible says all things work together for good for them that trust him. It's true. Gang, you and I can be dewormed easily. We can lose our anxiety and our worry. We can lose the negativity, and we can even keep ourselves from the perversity that we see around us if we will be those who continually give thanks. Take a second to time out and say, God, thank you for what you've done. All right, let's pray. Father, I love you so much, and I want to give you thanks today for all that we enjoy here. There's this gratitude in our hearts. God, I don't want to be a person that takes the glory and thinks that I earned it or that I deserve it or whatever. God, I recognize I deserve nothing. You've been gracious and good, and you've continually poured out blessing upon us. I'm so grateful to you today, Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Michael Kraft and Burning Hearts. We're a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you at our services on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We also have a Wednesday night Bible study. For directions to the church building and times of the service, come check us out online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to learn more about the church and what we believe, head on over to the website. While you're there, you can fill out an email form with your questions or comments, or you can join with us in spreading the gospel through financial support. Here at Burning Hearts, we know it can be intimidating to try to share your faith. If you've ever felt insecure or fearful when you think about sharing the gospel, we have a great tool for you. It's called Something Missing, and you can find it on our website. It's a simple tool to help you get over the tongue-tied feeling and calm the butterflies in your stomach. We want to do everything we can to help you share the gospel. Come on over and add another tool to your tool bag. You never know when your opportunity will open up to share, and having tools available to you can help you take the chance. Being prepared can make an eternal difference in the lives of the people you love. Well, that's all we have time for today. Come back next time as we work together to stoke the coals of our burning hearts.